You got a fourth line center for us tonight?
I don't know what he's going to do, but I don't think he'll put Miller into the middle.
No, you can't break up
I
that
think he'll be
line.
reluctant. Yeah, I don't think he'll do that. So I'm assuming they'll go with the three centermen, and then on the fourth line, if you're out there, I would think Schaller would be the guy to take draws or maybe play in the middle. That's the next option. I don't know if there's an option from the farm. I'm not sure Lukas Jasik is ready yet. So I would think tonight, I mean, stand to be corrected, but I'm going to guess that Miller stays with the Lotto line, and Schaller is going to have to be the de facto fourth line center. That would be my guess.
And also, I guess the other news yesterday that it's funny, there was just so many moving parts with so many different things happening. Even, you know, a Seahawks game going down last night. You got a new head coach with the Lions. But then the Canucks news yesterday, Murph, that Jacob Markstrom's going to be away from the team for the most part this week, although it's really only the one game that he'll miss, which is tonight.
Yeah, and obviously they knew the timing of this, and I would be surprised if this wasn't kind of coordinated this way with the Markstrom's family, and they looked ahead and found a time for him to go home where he's only going to miss one start. I don't think it will bleed into Saturday, but that's an afternoon game too, so maybe Demko will get a couple starts in a row here. But it's the right thing to do, and it's been remarkable how well he has played considering the last month and a bit for him. Anyone that's lost a parent knows it's a difficult time, terribly difficult time. And for him to have the mental fortitude and the strength to go through that, grieve, and yet, play really some great hockey, he needs to be commended for it.
Dan Murphy joining us on the starting lineup. Dan Murphy, presentation of Sean Charlton. To get a complimentary second opinion on your financial game plan, visit SeanCharltonGroup.com. I don't care if you're tired, but you probably are. How tired and do you think mentally exhausted this hockey team is tonight? And does the fact that Burrow's night is tonight kind of an incentive and maybe an energy boost that they will need to get through 60 minutes?
Yeah, I think it'll give them a bit of a jam. I think that, that game on a Sunday night, I thought they were pretty good for two periods. I mean, they had good energy. They were better team 5-on-5, but it did look like it caught up to them in the third period, especially the first 10 minutes, when you would expect them to be pushing after they gave up that power play goal to start. So I think there's some fatigue mentally and physically. Sometimes those long road trips, when there's no back-to-backs, it makes it almost worse. It seems longer, right? I mean, every game there's at least one day spaced in between. It's stretched out and you're away for so long. So I think they'll be looking forward to getting, just a couple of practice days and maybe one more day off before the weekend. Because I've said it many times, I'm not playing, I'm sitting in my rear end, but getting into hotels at 2 in the morning or 2:30 in the morning and then getting up and trying to function the next day is not always the easiest thing. And I don't have to do anything. So I can imagine how they feel, despite the fact that they are half our age, Perry.
Yeah, but you've also got a case of wine in you, probably.
And you're eating pizza and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And cookies.
Papa John's. Yeah.
All that junk food. Dan Murphy here on Sportsnet 650. Murph, you were there yesterday kind of sharing the story on the Senators' standpoint. Boy, I'm of the opinion, and I think Perry is of the opinion of this too. I hope the Canucks actually recognize this on the video. I think there's an opportunity here to kind of have some fun with this, and even though it's a rival player for what he's done for the city, I think a lot of people are looking at Mark Borowiecki as kind of being a hero. Can tell the story for us, for people who maybe haven't caught it yet.
Well, I went to the rink yesterday, and it was just a Senators practice, and I was going to go talk to Anders Nielsen and Brady Tkachuk a bit about Quinn Hughes. And so I wasn't in the Borowiecki scrum, but he didn't say anything there. But when he was leaving, because I was sure I saw him at Whole Foods 2 days ago, that's by our office, 8th and Cambie, I was sure it was him, but he didn't smile, so I didn't, that's how you can really tell if it's him.
He's missing teeth, yeah.
No teeth. So anyway, on the way out, I was talking to, a couple of Dean Brown, and Dean goes, "Hey, Mark, were you at Whole Foods yesterday?" He goes, "Yeah, but I got a real story for you." And that's when he said he was wandering through Gastown, witnessed across the street some guy smash a window, a parked car, and grab a backpack. And he said to the thief, drop the backpack, and get out of here. And the guy said, no, you know, F you. So now I'm telling you, he's walking across the street, dropped the backpack and get out of here. And the guy said, you know, screw you, hopped on his bike and tried to race past him. And Borowiecki threw the clothesline out, grabbed him, held him down, grabbed the bag away. And it was probably pretty lucky for the folks whose bag it was, because there were passports in there. So when he was leaving the rink yesterday, he was fielding some phone calls from the police to try to get a statement and get the bag back, or I don't know if the bag had been given back, but he kind of yelled that out when he was leaving the building. And so this is also funny, because when I saw him at Whole Foods, he was buying like baby slippers. So not only is he out buying baby slippers, then he's going out and solving crimes, which is pretty fun.
Well, and the Senators have done a nice job with putting him in a whole scene that they put up on Twitter of him saving the day against everybody. So now, you see, Ball and I have said, you take a shot of him on the bench, you play a little Bad Boys for like, all right?
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
In fact, Murph, since we're all one family, I'm sure Greg Shannon is listening to the show. I'm sure you will reiterate this story on the broadcast. Tell Shannon to have a little Bad Boys underneath, and we'll just give you that a little bit of production touch to it.
Okay, I will. I'll pass that on for sure.
Yeah, yeah, that's the way to do it. Are you surprised at this team? And maybe you weren't aware of the roller coaster of emotion on that long road trip, but it just seemed one night people thought, ugh, they fooled us, they're not that good. Then they bounced back. Were they even keel on this trip, even though the results were kind of sporadic and erratic?
I would say no. It wasn't really even keel. I mean, there was major disappointment after Dallas, more so from the coaching staff, I think. The players were obviously upset with the way they played, but that's the first time that the coaching staff said pretty much every player down the lineup was not very good. And then really in Nashville, weren't a ton better, but, you know, the power play pulled one out of the fire. So I think they were happy they were able to get a win after such an ugly loss. And then by far the best game, you know, guys were really fired up after the game against Washington. So there you're on a high, and you think maybe they can run this out. Then a poor performance in Philly. And then obviously, you know, at least you get it to 500, which is probably what they deserved for that road trip. And I think after that first game, if you had told fans they'd finish 3-3, they would have said, I'll take it. But I think there was a range of emotions on that trip because a lot of time you do see the players fairly even keel, but I saw some real disappointment after Dallas, and I think the same can be said after the Philadelphia game as well.
Dan Murphy with us here on Sportsnet 650. It is the Ring of Honor ceremony tonight for Alex Burrows. I mean, you were there pretty much for day one from Burrows' time as a Canuck to his final game as a Canuck just a couple of years ago. Give me a sense of what sums up Alex Burrows in your mind.
I think that, I mean, it's just one of those, for the fan base, that's our guy, right? We don't care that everybody hates him. We don't care that he can be a rat. We don't care that he can be an a-hole. He has always been, you know, there for the franchise. He's been clutch. He's kind of had our backs, so to speak. He's been an ultimate teammate. And, you know, we're not kidding ourselves. He's not the best player to ever play for the Canucks. He's not the best player up there in the Ring of Honor. But he's probably the best story, perhaps, in franchise history. And I think that I think it's maybe fitting that the first player to be recognized from that 2011 team is Burrows. You know, he wasn't as good as the Twins or even Kessler or Luongo, but he kind of was the soul and a little bit of the heart of that team, and sometimes the engine that drove it. And I would say that's kind of what sums him up in my mind, just a real fiery guy that played the game with extreme passion, and I don't think you could say you ever saw him take a night off.
He's coaching now. Was that an obvious in your mind that here's a guy who just loved the game so much that he wasn't going to be like a lot of his contemporaries and just stay away from it, because he wasted no time to get behind the bench? This guy is just hockey, isn't he?
I agree. Yeah, and I mean, he was one of those guys that always wanted to talk sports, whether it be hockey. He'd talk about their opponent or what happened the night before in a different game, or did you see this? But he just loves sports. He loves to talk about football. He's a huge tennis fan. I see him every second summer in Montreal when the Rogers Cup is there. But I would agree, Perry. He's some guys you see that are kind of, more poised to go to the front office route, and some players more in coaching and player development. And Burrow's always seemed like a logical fit to start, at least in that part.
Well, thank you very much for this, Murph. It's a busy day ahead and a special night for Canucks fans as they recognize Alex Burrows in the Ring of Honor. Hey, Murph, before we get things wrapped up completely, why don't you tell us about your friends over at Sean Charlton Financial?
All right, boys, let me tell you about my friend Sean Charlton. Everyone's getting in on analytics these days, but how much do you know about your own financial stats? Like, what fees are you paying for financial services? Sean is an associate portfolio manager with BMO Nesbitt Burns. He understands that both fees and performance matter. He manages investment risk while maintaining objectivity to put his clients first. To get a complimentary second opinion on the fees you're paying, go to SeanCharltonGroup.com.